Oh, what's up?
Oh, your background sucks. You are not playing the game well.
Hold on.
I am very disappointed.
I'm a Google Hangouts girl. Hey guys, it's Friday, April 3rd. This is the Token CEO podcast. This is the requisite identification of who I am. I'm Erica Nardini, the CEO of Barstool Sports. So every Friday on this pod, we're going to have a guest takeover. Today, I invited Rich Greenfeld to be our first guest. Rich is the co-founder of the media research firm Lightshed Partners. He is an industry elite. The way I would describe Rich is that if Barstool Sports were a media analyst, we would be Rich Greenfeld. He is an extremely influential person. He is a must follow in the media and entertainment space. He's extremely vocal about the change in traditional and digital media. And what he's going to talk about today is big trends affecting media, sports, and entertainment in the coronavirus. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to my Q&A with Rich. This may go a little bit longer than 10 minutes. I'm already breaking my own rules, but it's worth it. Rich has a lot to say, and it's an important and great perspective.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Thanks for having me, Erica. I couldn't be more excited to join, be one of the first guests ever of the Token Pod.
So Rich, first question for you. One major media trend you're seeing right now?
Look, I think the bottom line, as you think about the universe, right, is that what's interesting is that we're all trapped at home. Everyone is stuck in their homes. They literally can't go outside, or if they can, for limited periods of time. And, you know, you would have thought that TV time spent was exploding, meaning old school linear TV, turning on your cable service, whether it's Comcast or DirecTV. But the reality is, it's actually down. You know, unless you're over the age of 50, you're actually watching less TV than you were a year ago, even while you're locked inside. And I think it's because sports has just evaporated. And so I think without sports, I think younger people, and I count anyone under the age of 50, I'm putting in the category, including myself, of younger people, and you're just not turning on the TV. And I think what's become sort of your go-to source of entertainment is Netflix. I mean, for 11 days straight, literally, Tiger King has been the number one show on Netflix. We can debate for sure the quality of Tiger King. But when you think about shows like Love is Blind, Tiger King, All American, these are shows that are just exploding on Netflix. And it's because Netflix has fresh content. It's become sort of a go-to source. And I think we're seeing in the middle of this pandemic is that people are literally turning to where they find comfort. And I think there's just a whole host of reasons why you're just literally turning on Netflix versus turning on your traditional TV without sports there. This is where you go find entertainment television in 2020.
Totally makes sense. Tell me, from your vantage point, who's doing it right and who's doing it wrong? Obviously, Netflix doing it right, but who are other companies you would put in that category? Who do you think are people that are missing the mark altogether?
You know, the problem is most of the companies are not really trying to compete with Netflix. You know, if you think about a Disney Plus, they're offering a very good service. I mean, if you have young kids, Disney Plus is a great babysitter on demand, the way a DVD used to be a great babysitter on demand. But there isn't something for the adults in the household to go turn on Disney Plus. I mean, unless you want to go watch Frozen with your kids. But I mean, if you want to curl up in bed or on a couch and with your partner and you want to watch something tonight, there isn't exactly a lot of fresh content to watch on Disney Plus. It's really meant for your kid. And you know, I think you're going to see companies like HBO Max, which is going to launch in the next few weeks, and you're going to see them with a much broader array of service. Because even HBO was really just for adults. And I think what you're going to see HBO, they're going to come at this with rom-coms, and they're going to come at this with kid shows. And they're going to probably make the first real attempt to replicate kind of the four quadrants that Netflix has gone after. Apple, you know, not a lot of library. Content's not bad, but it's certainly not a broad offering. There isn't something to watch on Apple TV Plus every night. I mean, the reality is, to answer your question, Erica, no one's really competing head on with Netflix. They've really let Netflix run away with this category. And what I mean by that is there are no new movies coming out on Disney Plus or HBO Max. Like, they're not taking their blockbusters out of the movie theaters and putting them directly onto these services. There's two movies on Netflix in the last couple of weeks that literally premiered. They didn't go to a theater. They went directly to Netflix. And I think the whole industry is going to have to start thinking about this, especially if theaters don't open anytime soon. But what's shocking is that no one out there really has the wherewithal to do exactly what Netflix is doing business model-wise. And I think it's why they've been so successful globally.
You've been a longtime critic of the cable bundle, right? And the concept that a consumer has to pay for things they want, things they don't want. In an era now where I think people are becoming much more cost conscious and there's a ton of uncertainty about the economy, what do you think happens to all the subscription products and in particular the vertical subscriptions?
It's interesting because when you think about the cable bundle, you had a lot of people who didn't want a lot of the content. I mean, I'm sure no one who loves Barstool probably didn't like sports, but there are clearly lots of people in America, I don't know whether it's 40 million households or more, that just are not sports fans. But yet they were paying $9 a month for ESPN and $6.50 a month for the YES Network and $8 or $9 for MSG Networks in New York, or probably $5 for NESN up in Boston so you could see all of your favorite teams, Erica. And I think the Cubs are trying to market their new channel Marquee in Chicago for $6 a month or $6.50 a month. And the reason I raised the story is that you didn't have a choice. You had to pay for all of those channels. There was one large bundle you had to pay for. I presume everyone listening to this podcast, if they're subscribers to Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus, presumably none of them are subscribing and don't want to be. Because if they don't want to be, they click cancel on their phone and 2 seconds later, they're not a subscriber. So I think the reality is consumers love that, this kind of ability to have full control over your life. I think what we're going to learn from the pandemic and probably a weaker consumer recession, whatever we come out on the other side of this when life sort of returns to normal, my guess is you're going to really see the traditional cable bundle size downward towards the people that love live sports. And so right now there's still 80 million people paying for a big bundle. My guess is that drops over the next few years towards 60, maybe even towards 50 million homes, because if you're not a sports fan, as we're learning now, you don't need the bundle. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, it fills that need for you actually more than just fine, better than it ever could have on linear TV.
Which sport do you think is most negatively affected by what's happening?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that, and it's really, you know, mentally, I've been really struggling with how to think about it and frame the risk. My gut instinct is professional sports are actually better positioned because you could, and again, I hate to even bring this up, but could you lock athletes in a hotel in Vegas and force them to play in T-Mobile Arena basketball game after basketball game? Could you lock players in Florida at spring training facilities and play baseball games? I guess theoretically you could, and keep them quarantined for the entire length of the season, take their temperature every day and make sure they're okay until there's a vaccine or, you know, an antibody test or whatnot. The problem and the fear I have, Erica, is what about college sports? And, you know, are we putting 50,000 people back onto the Ohio State campus in August? Because I don't think you can have college football unless college is in session on campus. And so I know you could play empty stadiums. That doesn't worry me at all. But I'm very worried that campuses won't be in session. And then how do you have football season? And that to me, look, it's unimaginable to me to not have college football season. But I'm sure it's equally unimaginable that there's no college baseball season right now to all the kids who play college baseball. And it's equally unimaginable that March Madness was literally canceled and Wimbledon was just canceled. And so we're in a whole new world. I'm sure we're going to go back to normal, but I'm a little hesitant to believe that colleges are going to be filled with tens of thousands of students in a few months. I hope I'm wrong. I literally hope I'm wrong, but it does feel at the margin that college sports have the greatest risk factor attached to it. And not to mention, these are people that are not paid, right? I mean, these are students. Like, are we putting students at risk until we're darn sure that they're safe?
My last question for you, Rich, is if you're an optimist or a pessimist about media following a pandemic and what you think the one biggest lasting change will be outside of the further deterioration of cable.
Oh, I think this is going to be amazing for media. I mean, think about it. Media is where we're turning to for entertainment. I mean, look at the celebrities that are going on Instagram Live. You've got Joe Buck doing play-by-play of his household life, you know, whether you like Joe Buck or not. You know, you've got Alex Rodriguez interviewing other baseball players on Instagram Live. You've got video game, not just playing video games, but watching, you know, kind of esports watching on Twitch and others is up 100%. Media overall is literally keeping us all sane. I mean, we're looking for things to do, especially when we can't watch sports on TV, whether it's Netflix or whether it's Instagram or whether it's Twitch, like all of these things. I mean, video game system purchases are exploding. I think this is amazing for media. It's just the traditional forms of media that we're benefiting, you know, in terms of like who the winners are obviously changing. I mean, that whole TV ecosystem is going to come out of this in a worse position than they were before. But new businesses and, you know, new forms of media and entertainment, I look, podcasting is probably suffering right now because people are not commuting as much as they were. And certainly a lot of the internet-based advertisers that were spending money on podcasting are hurting. But I think in terms of overall adoption of digital streaming music, it's exploding. Adoption of using your phone more, I mean, whether it's Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter, all of these things are benefiting from usage. I think the long-term growth of mobile entertainment bodes well for a whole array of businesses. Again, just not the businesses like the bundle. I mean, there's going to be new positive trends that come out of this. And it's literally attaching yourselves to those new trends that's going to be really exciting over the next couple of years. It probably just accelerates the demise of businesses that were already, as you were talking about before, already structurally challenged.
So Rich, my last question, my real last question for you is, name one fucking good thing for you right now.
The best part about, you know, if you can find a silver lining to any of this is I haven't gotten on a plane in the longest I haven't gotten on a plane, probably since I graduated college. I've had family dinner literally every single night with my wife and three daughters. The amount of family time, it may get to be too much at some point, but for right now, like, it's really special. I mean, I've never spent this much time reading a book to my nine-year-old every night, literally being home for dinner, being able to help with dinner, you know, not being on a plane, not traveling. Hopefully it brings families closer together. I think that's hopefully the one good thing that comes out of this is that we're all going to get closer to our families and appreciate our families even more getting us through this.
I love it. So like every episode, it's all about the music. Rich, you get to pick today's song, so let us know what you've got.
Today, the music's going to be Video Killed the Radio Star. I still remember watching that music video at midnight. I mean, I used to stay up to watch the top 100 countdown on MTV. Like, I remember when Sledgehammer was number one, and it was like the whole world stopped for the MTV video countdown. And my kids don't even give a shit about music videos anymore. It's crazy.
MTV was so good.
I know.
Huge thanks to you, Rich, for being our first guest host. We loved that. It's super interesting to see what's going on and to think about what will happen next. You can follow Rich at Rich Lightshed, and you can follow me at EKA Nardini, and you can follow the pod at Token CEO. We made it through our first week. Thanks for everyone who's been a part of this and been listening. I'm learning a lot. I think we're having fun. Hopefully you're having fun too. Wash your hands, stay quarantined, and we'll see you back here on Monday.